All right, Friday night, short show, Applebee's night. Got to get the boys to the Applebee's here for date night with the wives. So it's going to be a short show. Hope everybody's ready. Like 1 hour from now, we're going to be done. So be ready. Got to get these guys, you know, they're all, you're like, Tom, you're making this stuff. Of course not. Of course not making this stuff up.
No.
No, I mean, come on. I wouldn't do that. I mean, like, you know, Brent's whole life revolves around that Applebee's in my mind. You know, so I mean, the same thing with Aaron. I mean, they got to get there tonight with the wives, right? Northport Applebee's,
yep.
Right down the road, about 5 minutes down the road, if that. So I got to get them out of here tonight for the Applebee's. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat, on Rumble Chat. Scooter Magruder is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Skunk 71's on. Mike Griffith is on. 1961 Kid is on. Guitar Glenn is on. D9597 is on. Judy Anita is on. Greg Ninemon is on. Uncle Wally's on. Spaz 64 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Bonnie 4 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Those Jesus People is on. Aggravain is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Biggie 926 is on. Genie Malfeasy is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Robin Aroni is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. All right, Mobetta 01 is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Jim Brody is on. Linesmanson is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Let me see here. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. K4 VMS is on. Volvo 960 is on. Uncle Wally 1 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Producer Aaron is on. Let me see. I'm going to get two or three more. Gen 11 Live Free is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Steph Toms is on. Gen 11 Live Free is on. Let me see here. Let me get one or two more here. Golf and Rocky is on. One more. Granite 2468 is on. Hey, Wethy is also on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just one thing off of the pregame that I found to be particularly amusing was on the CNBC Talking Heads show with Hakeem Jeffries on it. When he was given the litany of Trump accomplishments. I'll try to remember as many as I can. You have Iran's nuclear ability greatly diminished. You have, inflation at 2%. Joe Biden at a high of 9%. Lots of jobs. $17 trillion worth of foreign investment into our country. Numerous other things that were named that Donald Trump has accomplished. The peace deals that he's already accomplished, bringing home more hostages now. The hostage part wasn't on the list. Other things also that were mentioned. And so he asked Hakeem Jeffries, where is this calamity that you are warning us of? We could show you 30 videos of Hakeem Jeffries saying over and over again that we're on the verge of recession. The tariffs aren't working. About $800 billion has come in from the tariffs so far. Just shy of a trillion has come in from the tariffs, $17 trillion worth of foreign and domestic investment in our economy, all those different things. And he was asked, where's this calamity that you spoke of? And Hakeem Jeffries says absolutely nothing, but he gives this very profound, life-changing, mind-altering statement. He says, I believe in a strong floor and no ceiling. Nobody even tell me what that even freaking means. I mean, that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You have all of Trump's accomplishments. You said that every one of those accomplishments was going to lead to a depression. None of that has ever happened. And your answer is, I believe in a strong floor with no ceiling. Now, Trump goes and meets with the Belarus government and secures another, 13 hostages released. Aaron, if you can get on your computer. Get ready. Find me all of the hostages that Biden released.
None.
Okay. Over 4 years, zero. Okay. So there it is once again. Democrats accomplish absolutely nothing. You have California that's, for all intents and purposes, burned to the freaking ground. And what are they worried about? Redistricting in Texas. I mean, that's what it means to be a Democrat. You don't do anything for your citizenry. You don't spur on the economy. You get no investment. You don't free hostages. You don't ever win any wars at all. You only make them worse or start them. But what you do is come out with facetiously profound statements like, I believe in a strong floor with no ceiling. What is that? What does that even mean? What does that even mean? I mean, I don't believe there should be any racism. Okay, great. What about the wars? What about the economy? What about people falling under the poverty line? I mean, none of it, all a Democrat can ever do is basically just put on staged, dramatic events and proclamations. They never actually accomplish anything but destruction. So let's go this. Alex Jones, of course, we had the peace summit today in Anchorage, Alaska. Now, I mean, anybody who walked away thinking where they're going to walk out with signed declarations of peace, that was not going to happen. And I know nobody in my audience expects any of that, but I'm just saying there's a lot of goofy, stupid people that would. And then we'll denigrate Trump because that wasn't accomplished. Oh, this was all for show. And there was, okay, and what's so funny about all this, whether it's Johnny Bolton, who never met a war that he refuses to fight in himself that he didn't love, is they all come out and they talk about Trump is, he doesn't have the gravitas, he doesn't have the, you know, the experience to negotiate these deals. But none of these people, oh, Aaron, get on your computer.
Oh, yeah.
So find all of Biden's peace deals for his last 4 years.
Nope, nothing.
Okay, none. Once again, zero. Johnny Bolton, zero also.
Yeah.
So these people, they criticize Hillary Clinton, zero. So they sit there and go, Trump, and Hillary Clinton came out. If Trump actually gets this peace deal, I'll nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize. Johnny Brennan came out and said the same thing. But they both are like, I don't know about Hillary, but John Brennan was like, I believe that, you know, he doesn't have any state, he has stagecraft, but doesn't have statecraft. And that wasn't Brennan saying that, that was a commentator, but I'm like, that's basically what he said. That he could put on a staged event, but he doesn't have statecraft. So statecraft would mean the intellectual superiority and the experience that all of these establishment DC people have, like Brennan, like Hillary, like the Bidens, all those different people. Okay, but they never actually accomplish anything with their statecraft. Where is their long list of successes? So they sit there and they denigrate Donald Trump, who gets one peace deal after another. Abraham Accords. We have India, Pakistan, Azerbaijan. Well, I mean, all of these peace deals, one right after another. The 12-hour war, Iran versus Israel, which is stopped. And there's others that I'm not thinking of right now. But Donald Trump gets denigrated by these people because he doesn't have the experience to facilitate these deals, but they allegedly have the experience but never facilitate a deal. So how does that make any sense? Again, it's like these so-called experts, these statecraft experts, these governmental experts who basically belittle everybody else because we're not the experts that have been in DC for all of these decades. And they allege they have this certain level of expertise, not only expertise, but they're intellectually superior to all of us smelly Walmart people, but they never actually accomplish anything but destruction. So they say they have all of this governmental expertise, but we're $37 trillion in debt. They say that they have all of this diplomatic expertise, but there's wars all over the place that don't happen when the people who don't have the expertise are in power. So when the experts, the diplomatic experts are in power, wars flare up everywhere. When do our embassies get taken over? Well, we have Benghazi was taken over during Hussein. Jimmy Carter, we lost the embassy in Iran. And then we lost the embassy in Afghanistan under Biden. Aaron, if you could type in embassies that Trump has lost ever. The answer is going to be the same. None. Yeah. Okay, none. But the experts will say Trump doesn't have the expertise. Trump doesn't have the ability. Trump doesn't have the experience to negotiate these peace deals. But there isn't really any need to negotiate a peace deal under Trump because no new wars actually start under Trump. All the wars that he's trying to stop right now are the ones that the experts started. That's weird. I mean, I'm just trying to think here. They have the Gaza conflict. See, what president was overseeing that when that began? Oh, that would be Biden. Ukraine, Russia, that would be Biden. The flare-up with China, that would be Biden. The absolute abomination of Abbey Gate in Afghanistan, that would be Biden. So everything that Trump is trying to solve right now actually started under Biden. So the experts, these diplomatic experts, start all the wars and then claim that we don't have the diplomatic expertise to stop them, even though they never end up stopping the wars that they started either. So there's all just a bunch of fraud. So here we have the meeting with Trump and Putin. And basically what this is a giant, and I got to, you know, of course, I'll keep this clean, is basically just a giant thumb of the nose to Volodymyr Zelensky. I mean, you have Russia and America meeting to discuss how they're going to end this war. And Zelensky was kind of pseudo-invited. Maybe you can come at a later time. Because they both know that he's the kid at the kid's table. I mean, where's all the denigrating of Volodymyr Zelensky, who's nothing more than a transsexual actor? That's all he is. I mean, the man's never... He walks around in a paramilitary uniform all the time. He's never spent 1 second in the military. He has absolutely no governance expertise whatsoever or experience whatsoever, but it's gone in and made sure that it's removed all elections, opposition parties, and opposition media. So he'll stay in power. He's nothing more than a little you know, Soviet-style dictator. That's what he is. He's an authoritarian dictator. But there's no degradation of his diplomatic abilities, even though he has none and no expertise whatsoever. But there is of Trump, who was a four-year president, is now in his fifth year of being president of the United States. So there was no deal that was actually done, but here is the verbiage by both leaders. Alex Jones' video breaking Russia-Ukraine peace summit. Play for me.
That was very profound, and I will say that I believe we had a very productive meeting. There were many, many points that we agreed on, most of them, I would say, a couple of big ones that we haven't quite gotten there, but we've made some headway. So there's no deal until there's a deal. I will call up NATO in a little while. I will call up the various people that I think are appropriate, and I'll, of course, call up President Zelensky and tell him about today's meeting. It's ultimately up to them. They're going to have to agree with what Marco and Steve and some of the great people from the Trump administration who've come here, Scott and John Ratcliffe, thank you very much. But we have some of our really great leaders. They've been doing a phenomenal job. We also have some tremendous Russian business representatives here. And I think, you know, everybody wants to deal with us. We've become the hottest country anywhere in the world in a very short period of time. And we look forward to that. We look forward to dealing. We're going to try and get this over with. We really made some great progress today. I've always had a fantastic relationship with President Putin, with Vladimir. We had many tough meetings, good meetings. We were interfered with by the Russia hoax. That made it a little bit tougher to deal with, but he understood it. I think he's probably seen things like that during the course of his career. He's seen it all, but we had to put up with the Russia hoax. He knew it was a hoax, and I knew it was a hoax, but what was done was very criminal. But it made it harder for us to deal as a country in terms of the business and all of the things that we'd like to have dealt with. But we'll have a good chance when this is over. So just to put it very quickly, I'm going to start making a few phone calls and tell them what happened. But we had an extremely productive meeting, and many points were agreed to. There are just a very few that are left. Some are not that significant. One is probably the most significant, but we have a very good chance of getting there. We didn't get there, but we have a very good chance of getting there. I would like to thank President Putin and his entire team, whose faces, who I know in many cases, otherwise, other than that, whose faces I get to see all the time in the newspapers. You're almost as famous as the boss, but especially this one right over here. But we had some good meetings over the years, right? Good, productive meetings over the years. And we hope to have that in the future. But let's do the most productive one right now. We're going to stop really 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, thousands of people a week from being killed. And President Putin wants to see that as much as I do. So, again, Mr. President, I'd like to thank you very much. And we'll speak to you very soon and probably see you again very soon. Thank you very much, Vladimir.
And next time in Moscow.
Oh, that's an interesting one. I don't know. I'll get a little heat on that one, but I could see it possibly happening. Thank you very much, Vladimir. And thank you all. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, so there we go. And they're like, well, what was accomplished? Well, Trump was very cryptic. He said basically they agreed on just about everything but one or two items that he thinks will be easily agreed to. So now he's going to go to NATO and say, do you all agree with the items that we agreed to? And can everybody get on this, NATO and Zelensky, and get everybody get on the same page with the items that we've already agreed to, and on the same page with the items that we don't agree to right now, and get to some sort of agreement. We will see what happens with this. If you look at like Natalie Winters on Twitter, if you look behind the scenes, we've already basically military spending on Ukraine has already been approved through 2030. That's what's behind the scenes. Okay, so now that's pre-Trump. Or right at the beginning of Trump, I don't know. Maybe it was the first CR that came in under the Trump administration. So, Tom, are you saying that you're skeptical? Not of Trump. I'm skeptical of now. Is Pompeo now going to dispatch himself like he did last time to go meet with Zelensky? Pompeo profits off of this war because he sits on a Ukrainian, I don't know if it's weapons or fossil fuel board that he sits on, but he profits off of all of this himself. And then is Lindsey Graham going to show up there? Joni Ernst, all these warmongers, are they basically going to call Zelensky? And just like they did prior to the meeting with Trump inside of the White House, where was Zelensky prior to that? Prior to J.D. Vance and Trump setting him straight in the White House, knocking him down a couple pegs, he was right across the street meeting with all of the Democrats. And I believe even like Lindsey Graham was there. So, I mean, I shouldn't say Democrats, because it was Democrats and Republicans. Meaning, because I'm not going to deep dive into this. I just got a lot of other little stories I want to get to tonight. None of them are really little, but you know, they're not one stacked right on top of the other. But, I mean, that's because there really is no such thing as an advocate for you and I in Washington, D.C. Outside of the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Rand Pauls, the Ron Johnsons, the Thomas Massies, and Donald J. Trump. There really aren't many advocates for us, because most Republicans are actually Democrats, because they want to continue this war. They would never dare say, whether they believed in the war or not, they would never dare say that they were against it, because that would not be politically beneficial for them to say that. So they won't say it, just like none of them would actually stand up and say that COVID is not a threat to any human being, because it's not. It's not. And you're like, well, that's not true, Tom. It kills an occasional person. Yeah, well, the flu kills an occasional person too. Pneumonia kills an occasional person. I understand all of that. But you need to come out and say, speak the truth. And what they do is they leverage a very small percentage of danger into basically instituting a mass totalitarian regime. That's what they do. So, I mean, and again, Republicans bought right into it. Every Republican, every pastor, basically every Christian. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir right now. It wasn't you. And if it was you, you've probably come out and said I was wrong. But that's what happens here. And so funding for the Ukraine war is funded. I want to make sure you check it on Natalie Winter's Twitter page. But it's funded, I believe, through 2030 already. So, I mean, Trump, I know, wants to stop the war. He put out in the press conference that, I don't know if it was in this press conference or not that I just played, but part of the press conference that I just played. But it was 7,100 people died in the war last week. Mainly soldiers, but 34 civilians. And Trump is all, Alex Jones says this all the time. Trump is all about golf courses, hotels, and hospitality. He doesn't want trenches and warfare and tanks and people being, you know, blown in half by artillery. That's not what Trump is about. He is actually trying to broker a peace deal. But the people who profit off of the war don't want it. And that's most of Washington, D.C. And they both profit off of the war from the military-industrial complex, directly contributing to their campaigns, the military-industrial complex being contributed to by the NGOs that you and I fund. And it's not just that. They don't get direct checks all the times from those various institutions. But you'll get, if you are speaking the right verbiage, then you'll get the speaking engagement, the invite to the right party, and then other money from other sources. So you have to tote a certain line or the money runs out. And the Democrats are finding out right now the money has run out for them, because Trump is basically putting a big drought on all of their NGOs. Let me show you this video, just changing subjects. And again, this is really what it's all about. This is what this podcast is all about. We talk about a lot of political things. Obviously, it's mainly about politics. But underneath all of that is the Bible. Because I don't believe anything's going to transpire that's not in the Bible. I mean, the things that you will see actually happen are going to be the things that are prophesied in the Bible. Now, we are given some leverage and some control over certain things. We are to be the restraining, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 8, restraining of these various end times abominations, these end times policies that are being inflicted upon us. You and I are supposed to be the restraining. What was the church in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023? What was the church? They were a facilitator of the Antichrist agenda. Facilitator. Bend over, put your masks on, close your churches, do Zoom services, and pimp and whore vaccines from your pulpits. So, and will the church ever stand? Haven't seen it yet. Haven't seen the church stand yet. Certainly don't stand much on abortion. Nobody even talks about it outside of me and maybe a few other pastors. But really, the reason why I'm introing all of this is because this next video from Antonio tweets, we tried warning people in 2020, and it's so funny. Everyone thought we were conspiracy theories. Now it's, and what he's talking about is biometric ID is rolling out in England. And this just brought this to mind today because I remember this dip squat moron that I know. I put out when I was still allowed to actually post on Facebook, which I'm not now. And that's been for 4 years. When I was actually still allowed to, I put the mask is the precursor for the mark of the beast. And this dip squat idiot moron that calls himself a Christian, put out like a laughing emoji. I'm like, really, how do you feel about that now? Because what all of the COVID stuff did, the vaccine passports were all about building the infrastructure for the biometric ID, which is the singular access point to all international and national commerce. Leverage you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by them. The singular access point is the biometric ID, where you can't buy, sell, trade, or travel, get medicine, get a tooth pulled, get a tooth filled, can't buy groceries, can't buy gas, can't buy anything. Gas will be controlled because that'll just be used to fuel power plants for electric cars and electric charging stations, they can turn off anytime they want. That's what they want. They can't do that now, but they want, that's what they want. It's all about control. And then you put that mask on, you ushered all of this in. And of course, that weak little bent over Christian that I'm talking about right now is too blind and stupid to see it, and probably still is. Because they don't read the Bible. They just make up their own version of Jesus and then worship at that golden altar, which is actually Satan. That's what they do. So what is this about? So you have now in Great Britain, you got to watch these places now. You got to watch it because these are the Five Eyes countries falling one right after another. Now, who's part of the Five Eyes countries, which is what facilitated the entire collusion hoax, was the collusion of the Five Eyes countries at the request of the CIA to gather dirt on Trump's campaign staff, which there was no dirt to collect, so they simply just made it up. But I digress. But you got to watch these Five Eyes countries because on the whole, what we usually do is what everybody else does as part of the Five Eyes. Canada, New Zealand, us, Australia, and Great Britain. Those are the Five Eyes countries. So now two countries have fallen that I know of. And I can't imagine Mark Carney holding the line as the globalist leftist, bourgeois, elitist, award-winning member of the WEF that he is, the Prime Minister of Canada. Can't imagine him holding the line. But Australia has already fallen, speaking of biometric ID. And again, this is why this is a biblical podcast. This is what I'm here for. Listen, I love Trump, okay? And I'm glad Trump, I voted for him 3 times. If he ran in 2028, chances are I'm voting for him again. This is the greatest president of my lifetime. He's the only anti-globalist president. He has his faults. He's too pro AIPAC and things like that. But he does pretty well constraining himself with Israel. He really does. Because Israel didn't want a 12-hour war, 12-day war, with a 30-minute bombing strike by us. They wanted a 10-year campaign to absolutely level Iran. And he didn't do it. So credit to him. So I love Trump. And I love the Republican Party platform. But what I am a sycophant for, where I am unapologetically 100% in favor of is the Bible, is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus is the Word. There is no delineation. If the Bible says it, that's what Jesus is, and that's what Jesus believes. That's who Jesus actually is is the word of God. There is no delineation. Well, I find this part of the Bible offensive. Then you find Jesus offensive. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So whatever the Bible says is actually true, and there is no other Jesus outside of the Word of God. So that's what this podcast is actually about, is to actually alert people to what is coming and what is our responsibility in the midst of it. So this biometric ID, again, is that singular access point to all commerce, not some commerce, not just international, not just national, all commerce. Because how many of us know that there is no commerce that's not international at this point? Everything is. And what it is to set up a guardrail where you cannot enter into a commerce situation without the approval of somebody. Without some Nina Jankowicz with Disinformation Governance Board. You violated this. You violated, bought something you shouldn't have bought, voted the way you shouldn't have voted, whatever, said something you shouldn't have said. We've already seen this. Roll out over social media. Well, you said something you're not allowed to say, banned. They don't let the court system take care of it. They just ban it themselves. So this biometric ID system has already gone out. And get ready, Aaron. I hope Aaron's with me because I'm going to bounce some stuff off him.
Yeah.
Okay. The biometric ID system has already been rolled out in Australia. But don't worry, Aaron. Mm. It's voluntary.
Oh, of course.
It's voluntary.
For now.
For now. Just like, remember the vaccines were voluntary until Joe Biden mandated them? Yeah. Remember that? Oh, how does that work? Tom, that doesn't make any sense. That's because they're lying to you. They're always lying to you. Everything that you see is a lie. Everything, basically, that you see is a lie. So they've already rolled it out there as well as get rid of cash. You want to get cash out of a bank, you have to give them a verbal explanation. Imagine that. Why do you want to pull this cash out? So they don't want to have cash because if you have cash, then nobody can turn you down in purchasing. If it is a digital ID, it can simply be shut off. The verbiage that I always use is somebody else's hand is at the spigot of your finances and your entry into the global commerce system. But what's happening in Australia is they say, you know what? It's voluntary. You don't have to have it. It's all for convenience. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, right? That's why this podcast is here. That's why this podcast began, is to stop this. Because that's what COVID was all about, is to leverage you into that one world commerce system, get the vaccine mandates out, and that builds the digital infrastructure for the biometric ID, which will end up on your right hand or on your forehead via a Bill Gates quantum dot tattoo, which he's already working it with Gavi to manufacture, to create, maybe even like to invent to that level. But anyway, so what Australia says, you know what? It's voluntary. It's just very convenient. You have a biometric ID. It's just a QR coded mark of the beast on your phone. And you just go swipe it everywhere you go. Everything's a swipe. You swipe everywhere you go. Problem is that now you have no actual assets. You may notice that you have digital assets. I mean, how does that work with food when you don't actually have food, but you have digital food? Doesn't really work, does it? You know how long you're going to live with digital water? Without 3 days. That's it. You're going to die of thirst. That's the way it is. I mean, it doesn't really work. You don't really have any assets anymore because at any moment, they can just be shut off because you no longer qualify. Oh, that'll never happen. It's already happened. We saw it in the truckers convoy up in Canada. They shut off their bank accounts. Remember? You know, Chrystia Freeland. Yes, we'll do it. We'll do it again. Remember that? That's who these evil little demon possessed people are. That's who they are. And you and I are not supposed to be just endlessly talking about Jesus loves you, God's grace. Oh, by the way, Jesus loves you, also God's grace. By the way, Jesus loves you, also God's grace. That's all people talk about. So you have all of these weak, bent over Christians who have no idea what the Bible says. They can't even quote verses about how Jesus loves them or about the grace of God. It's just some goober, some skinny jeans, latte-sucking, bent-over pastor told him about the grace of God in his own vernacular and under his own terms. And that's what the Christians all believe. Well, you need to look at what the Word of God says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. That's Christianity. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. 2 Timothy 2:4. That's Christianity. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. That is Christianity. It is a spiritual war. Yes, it involves love. Yes, it involves grace. But what it is the word of God. Because what is Christianity without Jesus? And Jesus is the word. So in Canada, they have this biometric ID system that's voluntary until every single corporation requires you to have it to actually do business. To get gas, you got to have a biometric ID. To get groceries, you got to have a biometric ID. You got to have the biometric ID to transfer your medical records from one doctor to the other, which, by the way, Trump's even instituting that via Real ID in America. You're like, Tom, you're just so pro-Trump. Listen, being pro-Trump doesn't mean that when Trump's wrong, you say he's right. What does that make you then, cult member? When you start calling somebody right who's wrong or wrong that's right, then you're a cult member. That's Hakeem Jeffries. He's calling Trump wrong when Trump's right. He's a cult member. He's absolutely denying that which is actually real. That's being a cult member. You telling me you couldn't tell Jim Jones something's wrong with Jim Jones before you flew out to Guyana?
Yeah.
Like you couldn't tell? Nobody could tell? Right. If something's wrong, he's banging your wife and 10 others?
Always.
It's always the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, he asked you to bring your wife to his house so he could spend the week with her? And that doesn't alarm bell, that doesn't go off that he might not be Christ-like?
I just want to pray over.
I want to lay hands on your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speak in tongues. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a whole bunch of like spiritual things. Yeah, okay. You might want to wait. You know, that's why people fall for that crap. It's because they have no idea what Christianity actually is. No idea. I'm surprised all the viewers have actually stayed on as I'm just preaching out of the gospel. But I think most everybody watches is Christian. But anyway. So that's what this podcast is all about. So here's what's going on. Now you already have this in Australia. Now what's going on in Great Britain? Finally, play it for me. Antonio Tweets video. Play it for him.
This is planned for Great Britain now, and the rest of the world is in the crosshairs as well.
This is your wake-up call. The British government is pushing forward with plans for a national digital ID system. They've called it the Brit Card. And if that name doesn't send a chill down your spine, you have not been paying attention. It isn't just about proving who you are online. That all sounds rather lovely. This is about building a centralised, state-controlled digital identity system that could be used, will be used, to link your finances, your medical history, your travel movements, your social media activity, even your social activity in real life, and more. It's quite frankly a digital dog tag. And once it's clipped around your neck, you will not be able to take it off. So let's start with the basics. What is this Brit card? According to leaked briefings and government statements, and frankly, any of us who've been paying attention knew this was coming, the Brit card is going to act as a unified digital identification that every British citizen can use to access public services, to prove their identity, and eventually, though they won't say this part out loud, link with your banking, your health, and your travel movements.
Now, there's a lot more about this agenda, where they're trying to take us, but that cannot be mentioned on Instagram due to censorship. Comment the word Rumble below and I'll send you.
All right, so there you go. I just want to bring this is what it's really all about. I mean, I enjoy talking about, you know, Trump basically instituting martial law in D.C. as he had to do, and he did the exact right thing by basically federalizing D.C., which he has every right to do under the Constitution. But I enjoy talking about it. I've got a whole list of it. We're going to hit Democratic Party stupidity, which is one of my favorites. I love doing all of that. But really why I'm here, why you need to be here, is to look at what is the globalist, bourgeois, leftist, elitist plan for you, because that's actually the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit, Beast 1, Beast 2, out of the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and 14. You need, in the entire book of Revelation, the entire Bible, follow the entire thing, Old Testament and New. Obviously, the New Testament, the New Covenant, succeeds and takes over for the old, but the old launched the new. There is no new without the launching of the old, but the old is now gone, and now we follow the new. But it's the entire word of God that we believe. You're like, well, I believe in God of love. God would never kill anybody. You've never read the Bible, because God kills people in the Bible, Old and New Testament. Whoops. The angel spills blood to a horse's bridle on earth. Not the demons. The angel does it. Whoops. Everybody see this? I mean, you need to understand how it all works and understand what real Christianity is. Because you and I are called to spiritually war against these things. That's what you and I are called to do. I love talking about the other stuff, and we're going to talk about other stuff. But that's when these things pop up, that's huge. Because that right there, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Anything that is the antithesis of freedom, you and I are supposed to be fighting against, not complying with. Put a mask on. Why? Just do it. Take a vaccine. Why? Just do it. When you see those things, close your churches. Why? Just do it. What did all the Christians do? They complied in opposition to the word of God and then claim that it was Christ-like to oppose the word of God, which is Jesus. Tom, make that make sense? I can. I can ask Aaron to try to make it make sense. He can't either. There's no way to make sense out of it. There really isn't. So we need to be fighting against these things because they're trying to leverage us into a one-world commerce system with a single access point. And Trump, even through Palantir and through Real ID, is doing the same thing unwittingly. He doesn't know that's what it's about. Trump looks at it as, you know what, we're moving on. That's why you call leftists like to call themselves, instead of calling themselves what they really are, which is communists, socialists, and Nazis, they call themselves progressives. And people start to believe that they're progressing. We're progressing forward. Everything's convenient. You get a chip in your hand. You get a quantum dot tattoo on your forehead or on your right hand, which automatically means you're hellbound. There's no ability to repent once you have a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. You just need to read the book of Revelation, chapter 14, 13 and 14 about the mark of the beast. And that's really what we all need to be restraining. That's what we need to be the great restraining against. All right, I got to jump off of that. I'm going to talk about it all night. Let me show you this. I just found this to be really interesting. Go to the next one for me. Senator John Cornyn tweet. Aaron, is this something you can do over here, or is that going to stay that way because I can't read nothing? Oh. Can you get that off of there? I got something on my left screen here, which is how I read the stuff. X. Okay, good. Good enough.
Weird.
All right, yeah. So I hate those things. What pop-ups. It was, just so everybody knows, it was one of those freaking McAfee virus things. Yeah. Okay, I hate those things. I mean, I hate all those freaking things. They pop up all over my computer every time I turn on. But anyway, I just had to show you this because look at the bottom here. This just shows you, because I'm always picking on John Cornyn, who has a 49% liberty score. So he votes with Chuck Schumer 51% of the time, but he's a senator out of Texas who's running now against Ken Paxton, is actually running against him, try to unseat him in the primary. But you look at this. Speaking of shooting, says Texas Gun Rights, remember when you, John Cornyn, teamed up with Biden to spearhead gun control legislation? Look at the bottom. The Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which John Cornyn partnered with the Democrats on, remember, he partners with them over 50% of the time, was passed by the Senate on 23rd of June, 2022. Senator Cornyn, as he does over 50% of the time, voted with the Democrats, voted yay. The act expanded background check requirements. That always, you know what? Whenever you're trying to stop a criminal, what you really want to do is background check them. Because, you know, all the criminals, they conform to all the background checks. That really works. No, all you're doing is putting another hoop in front of a lawful gun owner that they have to jump through. Broadened existing restrictions and established new criminal offenses. He did all that and then was accused of doing all that by Texas Gun Rights. And what was Cornyn's response? I mean, it is absolutely galactic reaches of brain power. No. That's his answer. That's the intellectual fortitude of John Cornyn. He's confronted by the facts. He did it in June of 2022, put out an anti-gun rights bill, is confronted with the facts about it, and his response is no. That's who he needs to be. John Cornyn should never, ever, if he wants to be a politician, he needs to go and be a Democrat because that's who he is. And we need to continue to expose all of these people because they pretend to be Republicans so they can hold those seats so that we don't put legitimate conservatives in those seats. All right, let's have some fun. Let's go to Brian Krasenstein, okay? Who is another, he's about 5'1" and he's an effeminate male. Very effeminate. You'll hear it in just a minute. He talks like this. Trump greets Putin. That's how he talks. Just like this. Okay. That's Brian. Hi, my name's Brian Krasenstein. That's how he talks. I'm not kidding. You'll see it in just a minute. I'll read you his tweet in his language, right? They should have had snipers in Anchorage, Alaska, ready to take him out as soon as he shrugged. Now, who's he talking about there? He says that he's talking about Putin. That's bad enough that you're actually calling for the assassination of a foreign diplomat, of a foreign leader. That's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, Aaron, find all the times that we've ever done that.
Well, let's see. Never.
Or any Republican.
No.
Oh, never. Okay, no. Just making sure, because that's exactly right. So here you have the party that's always accusing us of being the existential violent threat to America, the white supremacist terrorists, blah, 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 blah. They're the only people that are actually calling for violence, committing acts of violence, are the Democrats themselves, as they accuse us of committing acts of violence that we never commit. Fact. Absolutely fact. So here he is. He actually posted this, and it was still up last I checked. So it's still up. He never noticed how, and then in the comments underneath, he says that he's talking about Putin when everybody starts talking. But he made sure he didn't post that he was talking about Putin. He very much could have said that he was talking about Putin. But even that is absolutely morally reprehensible, that he's actually calling for the assassination of a foreign leader. Go to the next one for me. Here's his follow-up tweet. Correction, we should poison him instead. Still never mentions whether he's talking about Putin or Trump. Make it less obvious. This is who these people are. This is why I tell you. This is not, you know what? What we need to do here at Cornerstone Hyper Grace Church is we just need to reach out to Brian and show him some love and tell him, you know what? Everything that he says is okay and we approve of it all, but we just want to try to make him better. And you know what? It's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay with being okay that you're not okay. Okay. That's not Christianity, all right? That's not Christianity. What it is, you need Christianity is speaking the truth to this guy. Speaking the truth to him and saying to him, you know what? You're calling for murder. You know, it's not surprising because he belongs to his father, the devil, right? You hear me quote that verse all the time, John 8:44, because that's Democratic Party and the globalist, elitist, bourgeois agenda, the WEF, all the people that believe in the leftist, communist, socialist agenda. And it's not just that, it's totalitarianism. But because they belong to their father, the devil, and want to carry out their father's desires. Who was a murderer from the beginning. That's John 8:44. He's calling for murder. It's murder if you assassinate Vladimir Putin. And again, he just operates, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, whether he's just a mindless moron or whether he actually believes what he says, he has no idea what's the genesis behind this war. He has no idea about it. I'm not going to jump into it because I'll talk about Luhansk and Donetsk and the breakout provinces and NATO and the 11 country encroachment under Russia, blah, 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 how both Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin are both authoritarian dictators. Which one's worse? Actually, Zelensky, because somebody put in comments here talking up earlier about how Zelensky also got rid of the Orthodox Church. Putin didn't do that. Zelensky's huge into transgenderism, being one himself, and Putin is not. It's basically outlawed in Russia. So I would take Russia over Ukraine if I had to choose. So they're both, but they both are dictatorships. But this idiot here, it's like, Slava Ukraine, yo, Russia bad. And if you ever say that, you know, you're not 100% for Zelensky, then you're pro-Putin. This is how simplistically stupid he lives his life. Just a stupid human being. And now you see not only stupid, the problem with stupidity is it's actually like in Dickens, The Christmas Carol, you said, watch out for that one specifically. One was want, one was ignorance. He says, watch out mainly for ignorance because that's the problem. Okay, and stupidity's in that genre. Because when you're really stupid, eventually you'll become violent because you're basically excusing everything in your life all the time. The reason why I have a problem is because of somebody else. Eventually you become violent, and that's what's happening with Krasenstein. So here's Krasenstein actually talking here. Go to the next one for me. Brian Krasenstein video. Breaking Trump greets Putin. Listen to him. Listen, play it for me.
Watch as Donald Trump claps and celebrates as Vladimir Putin comes down the tarmac, and then watch his greeting towards Putin right here. Who else misses Barack Obama?
Hey Aaron, can you go right? What do you have? Oh, what you had right there is what I needed. Go back to where you had at the very end of the video and freeze it. where it's the picture right there. That's all I need. So you see now, I want to just tell everybody this in case you're not like me, if you're not a loser like me and spend your day collecting information like I do, this is all over Twitter, X, all over social media. This is how you handle Putin like Obama. And that's what Krasenstein just said as he calls for the execution, the assassination of Vladimir Putin, at, you know, the man of compassion. You know, that's how he talks. I'm calling for the execution of Vladimir Putin. Hi, my name's Brian Krasenstein. Don't you miss Barack Obama? I really just miss him every day of my life. That's how he talks. And literally he's this tall. But anyway, this is what they all put out today. Harry Sisson, all of them. This is how you handle Putin. They put out this picture of Barack Obama because Trump's smiling with Putin. So this, you know, they put out the antithesis of Obama frowning at Putin. This is how you handle him. Obama never smiled with Putin. Well, go ahead and put the next one up for me. No, not the case. Okay. And I can show you 500 pictures of Hussein Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and every other globalist leftist in the world laughing and smiling with Vladimir Putin. And all of us remember the infamous video of Obama saying, just tell Vladimir I'll have a whole lot more latitude after I win the election.
Yep.
Remember that? And that's, I mean, these people, they either are ignorant, which means they don't know any better, or they're stupid, which means they do know better and are putting it out anyway. Just bull-faced propagandist lies. We don't lie, they do. I would never put out a picture of Trump frowning at Putin and then go, this is how you handle it, as I put a side-by-side with Obama smiling at Putin, because everybody smiles. Absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to the next one. Just want to show you, actually, just run this one side-by-side, Aaron, when you have it ready. This is an entangled web video. This is how Putin, Krasinski so badly wants Obama to be leader. Look at him bow. Watch him. I mean, this is one of the 8 times on video footage that Obama bowed to other world leaders. Watch him bow. Look at the president of the United States. Could he bend over any further?
No.
I mean, he almost qualified as ankle grabber right there. Almost qualified as ankle grabber. And this is that stalwart, strong leadership that they want. Now, let's just examine this real quick. So Krasinski wants Obama back. Under Hussein Obama, our embassy in Benghazi was lost. And then all kinds of false stories about that. You can bring it back to me. That was lost. Crimea was lost. And Krasnodar wants Obama back. Now, under Trump, nothing ever gets lost. Everybody knows that? Isn't that weird? Nothing. I mean, when does Vladimir Putin wait to invade Ukraine? 1 year after Biden takes office. Isn't that weird? Isn't that just odd? And he had all of those years before, during the Trump administration, but he never did it. Weird, isn't it? There's never any amphibious landing practices. That China's never actually doing any amphibious landing practices to invade Taiwan when Trump's in office. As soon as Trump takes office, Kim Jong-un stops firing missiles. It's weird, isn't it? But, and again, to be a Democrat means you have to deny everything that's real. That the only time embassies are lost is when your party's in charge. The only time when Vladimir Putin is active on the global stage, as far as war is concerned, is when your guy's in charge. But as soon as Trump comes in office, all he gets is $17 trillion worth of foreign investment into our economy. But yet you somehow have to say that your party does a better job? That's just absolutely pure delusion. Speaking of that, so Krasenstein wants Obama back. Well, let's look at this. This is a Patty Carroll video. Here's former CIA agent speaking here on a podcast. What was Barack Obama on and about doing that Krasenstein would want him back? Play for me.
Yes. I'm sure of it. Yes.
What about physically?
Well, there are two very well-documented cases where Barack Obama used a drone to murder Anwar Awlaki.
Yep.
And whether you like the man's politics or not, he was an American citizen who had never been charged with a crime. And then a week later, Obama droned his 16-year-old son and 14-year-old nephew who were sitting in a coffee shop having a cup of tea. Also, American citizens who had never been charged with a crime, and they were children. So yeah, the CIA does all kinds of things like that.
What about domestically?
Well, you know, I keep thinking back to Eric Holder's testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee when Rand Paul asked him, does the president have the legal authority to murder an American on U.S. soil? Well, Senator, you know, just answer the question. It's a yes or no question. Yes, he has the authority. Now, has he done that? We didn't know. But the Attorney General of the United States said that the president can murder an American citizen in the United States if the president believes that he presents a clear and present danger to the national security. That's sick.
It's unbelievable.
It's anti-constitutional. Not just unconstitutional. It's anti-constitutional.
So all these people that claim to be the arbiters of compassion, like Brian Krasenstein, and they are exactly the opposite of that. But these are the people that claim to be, you know, let everybody across the border, no kids in cages, no separating families at the border, all those different things. They claim to be these arbiters of compassion. But yet they want a president back that drone strikes three American citizens and advocates for the ability of the administrative executive branch to assassinate Americans without a trial. That's who Brian Krasenstein is. That's who the Democrats actually are. It's like when they are actually let off the chain, you end up with Anina Jankowicz in the Disinformation Governance Board. When you let them off the chain, when they believe they actually have power, you end up with vaccine mandates and COVID-19. That's what actually happens. So you look at Krasenstein wants Obama. Oh, I long for the days of Obama as he frowns at Putin, even though we have 1,000 pictures of him laughing with Putin. I mean belly laughing with Putin, by the way. I should have put together a little montage of all of that. But he drone strikes knowingly. He knows who Anwar al-Awlaki is. He knows that he's an American citizen who's never been charged with a crime, let alone convicted, never charged with a crime. Drone strikes him to death. And then a few days later, drone strikes his 16-year-old son to death. Drone strikes at that same time his 14-year-old nephew to death, all three of which are American citizens. And then, as Aaron said, then Barack Obama gets nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. And Aaron, can you type up all of his peace accords that he signed again? Because I know I checked at the beginning of the show. Maybe we missed one.
Still zero.
Okay, zero. But I mean, he never actually brought peace anywhere. Obama never signed any peace accord, ever. But yet got the Nobel Peace Prize. But he does slaughter 40 million babies a year in the womb. These arbiters of compassion, the arbiters of compassion, who don't want a kid in a cage, but would gladly vacuum him out of the womb piece by bloody piece. Those are the Democrats, the arbiters of compassion, which are exactly the opposite. That's what they claim to be. But they are, in fact, exactly the opposite. They're actually demonic. And many of them actually demon-possessed. Let me show you this one. Libs of TikTok video. Breaking, Democrats doing what they claim that we do. Claim that we cheat in elections. Well, there isn't any. There's no cases of Republicans cheating in elections. Just Democrats every single time. And yeah, you'll find one somewhere. I'm talking about basically 49.9 out of 50 times this ever happens, it's always a Democrat. And again, here it is again in Michigan. Michigan councilman, it's like Hamtrak, Michigan. City councilman, you'd just be shocked what his name is. Abu Musa, of course. Under investigation for election fraud, surveillance video allegedly shows Musa depositing stacks of ballots. That's illegal. You can never be in lawful possession of stacks of ballots. Everybody agree? Does everybody know that? It's all been lost in all of the Zucker boxes and drop boxes and no signature verification, no ID requirement. You're never allowed to be in possession of multiple ballots. That you're never allowed to do that. Except, I guess, in states where vote harvesting is allowed. But anyway, it's not allowed here. So here it is. So here he is actually stuffing a ballot box with multiple ballots. I'm sure all voting for him. Play for me. So he puts in somewhere, I don't know, 50, 60 ballots for himself all in the, and that's no problem at all because now voting really, I mean, now it's really just a matter of who wants to cheat the most. You know, who's going to cheat? Because in all of these left states like Michigan, And Trump won Michigan, but I'm just saying, like, they have a measure of voter ID required. That guy needs to go to federal prison or local prison because it's a local election, I guess. But anyway, he needs to go to prison for what he did because every one of those ballots is a criminal offense. But it's always the Democrats that are doing it. And then if you and I question it, then we're a threat to democracy. We're part of a seditious conspiracy. We're not allowed to question the integrity of our institutions. Okay, there's our institutions right there. I think we ought to question them. Would everybody agree? There's our institutions right there. There's our institutions playing out right in front of us, instituting, so to speak, our institutions instituting, and they're being violated by, of course, probably a Muslim immigrant. Oh, dear, Tom, you're Islamophobic. No, I'm just anti-Islam. I'm not afraid of Islam. That would be Islamophobic. I'm just anti-Islam. So you have another Democrat cheating an election. And, of course, who's the party of violence? Go to the next one for me. We're going to rotate just around various subject matters on Democratic Party stupidity. Just then, trans cult member Teresa Youngblunt, indicted for murder of a U.S. Border Patrol agent, which is being incited by Zohran Mamdani, incited by Gavin Newsom, incited by Karen Bass, Adam Schiff, and all of the rest of them are inciting the murder of these people. Violence against them is up 800% since Trump took office at the incitement of Democrats. Indicted for murder of U.S. Border Patrol agent David Milan in Vermont, DOJ seeking death penalty. Milan conducted a traffic stop when Youngblunt, exited the vehicle without a warning, opened fire, and murdered Milan in cold blood. Youngblunt is part of an LGBTQ extremist cult called Zizians, who commit acts of violence are responsible for multiple murders. Okay, Democrat or Republican? Who are the ones that are actually committing the violence? It's always Democrats. Who's committing voter fraud? It's always Democrats. Let's go to the next one. And wokeness video. TikToker calls for her followers to kill cops in D.C. In D.C., take care of them. Play for me.
Black people in D.C., get your... and take care of them police officers like they should have been taken care of 50 years ago.
I'm just curious, how is it that I get banned off of TikTok if I utter the word the? And she's on there going like this, and she's still on TikTok. I'm just curious how that works. There you go. Again, a Democrat calling for the murder of cops. This is my little salute to Brent tonight because he's from Cincinnati. Put up the next one for me. Lives TikTok tweet. Breaking. Cincinnati City Councilwoman, Democrat Victoria Parks, has resigned from her Hamilton County Veterans Services Commission board following her disgusting comments about the victims in the attack where you had the woman basically almost beaten to death in the streets of Cincinnati, white woman being attacked by multiple black people. There is a major, major crime problem in the black community towards white people because they believe they're justified in doing so because they've been told their entire lives that everybody that's white is a KKK member trying to hold them down. And most black people are smart enough to know that's not true, but there's plenty of black people who don't know that that's true. And even if you do think it's true, it doesn't justify you beating the crap out of people. All right, so not enough. She needs to resign from her city council, from being city council president, keep up the pressure. This is what happens. This is how we put the pressure on the Trump administration to get when Trump was talking about tying emergency assistance to support or lack thereof of Israel, we all got on, we all jumped on social media and started talking about it. It was the one, remember, each state was supposed to get $1.6 billion for disaster assistance. It's basically for disaster preparation. And the Trump administration, and I don't know if Trump knew about it or not, but his administration put it out that if you have any, you can't have any sort of boycott against Israel, you don't get the money. Any boycott against Israeli assistance, or you can't get the money. Or you can't have any verbiage. Any anti-Israel verbiage involved in your governance, or you don't get the money. Well, everybody spoke out about it, and it was removed in like 2 hours. This is why you speak out. She's already had to resign from one post. The next post she needs to resign from is city council president. And you see what she wrote there. Cincinnati city councilor Victoria Parks allegedly wrote, they begged for it. Did everybody watch the video? I didn't cover it much because it was so covered ad nauseum. But you just basically had a white girl attacked by multiple black people and beat the living crap out of you. See her face. She's lucky to be alive. But she begged for it. Amy, ever watched the video? You know what? You know what she doesn't do in the video? Aaron, can you guess what she didn't do in the video?
Mm.
She didn't beg for it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know, she was just screaming and crying, not begging for it. That she said the white people, they beg for it, and says she's grateful for the story in response to the white couple being violently attacked. Here's what she wrote at the bottom. They begged for the beatdown. I am grateful for the whole story. Who's the arbiters of violence? Who's the arbiters of compassion? I'm just, Aaron, can you find all the stories of the Republicans that have said anything remotely like this?
Zero.
Zero. Aaron doesn't even have to type away.
No.
Zero. All right, let's go to the next one. So this is a good one, right out of InfoWars. Let's look at what's happening to the mayor of New Orleans. Can anybody guess what party she belongs to? You know, and I actually saw this interesting point from last night, because Trump is obviously going after crime heavy duty right now, trying to get rid of crime and taking over Washington D.C. streets to get rid of the crime problem, to lessen crime. So now the Democrats are making all sorts of claims about crime. They, of course, it's just the same regurgitated talking points that they always use. And that is, you know, a lot of the most heavily, the states most, infected by crime are red states. That they are grievously affected by crime. That the highest crime stats are red states. Well, you know what? That's actually true. But the areas where all the crime is happening inside of those red states have been controlled by Democrats, and all of the criminal procedures, all the criminal prosecutions, all the tactics from police are controlled by Democrats in the crime-infected areas. So, they're part of red states, but the only places in those states that have a crime problem, a crime infestation, so to speak, are blue areas controlled by blue politicians, blue mayors, blue police chiefs, usually female police chiefs over and over and over again. But anyway, so it's just the same old rhetoric, and they just lied to themselves. And they were, I watched it because it was on Harrison Faulkner's show, and I don't know who the Democrat that was espousing this. I don't know who that person was, but it's just the same old rhetoric. You know, a lot of places with the highest crime rates are in red states. Yeah, but in the blue areas of the red states. In the red areas, there is no crime, statistically speaking. So let's look at what's happening to the Democratic mayor of New Orleans. Play for me.
Democrat New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell indicted on federal charges. Democrat New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell was indicted on federal charges on Friday. A federal grand jury indicted Cantrell and former New Orleans police officer Jeffrey Vappi. After an investigation by the FBI, Cantrell is charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to obstruct justice, making false statements and false declaration before a grand jury, according to a federal indictment filed Friday in the U.S. District Court in the Eastern District of Louisiana. So the sitting New Orleans mayor has just been arrested for a number of conspiracy charges. New Orleans mayor was indicted on a federal jury, marking the first time in the city's history the sitting mayor has faced criminal prosecution. The mayor's legal troubles come after more than 2 years of mounting criticism, including an alleged romantic relationship involving her former executive security officer, a legal battle with New Orleans resident who took photos of the alleged relationship, a legal battle with New Orleans public schools over a broken multi-million-dollar funding promise, the indictment of a former city inspector who allegedly bribed her with Saints tickets, and frequent travel amid an ongoing jail escape in the aftermath of a power outage. What the hell is going on in New Orleans? This is crazy. Last year, it was reported that LaToya Cantrell was under FBI investigation for allegations of an ongoing adulterous affair with Jeffrey Vappi, the former head of her police detail, and potential misuse of taxpayer funds, according to the Daily Mail. Security footage has allegedly captured Mayor Cantrell and Vappi spending extensive periods together in a city-owned apartment during work hours, raising questions about the nature of their relationship. Well, what do you know? What do you know, folks?
And here we go again, you know, the party of morality in their own eyes. But again, just try to find a Republican that does any of this. I mean, you'll find one every now and then, but you're never going to find a Republican stuffing ballots into a Zucker box. I mean, it's never going to happen. I mean, and all these, I mean, a Republican saying that a beatdown of a white woman by a gang of black men on the streets of Cincinnati, the person begged for it. You're never going to see that. You're never going to see a Republican go on TikTok and say, go and kill cops in D.C. with a gun, with a fake gun in her hand saying, take care of them. You're never going to see that. You're never going to see a Republican trans cult member gun down a member of CBP. That's not going to happen. You're not going to see any of it. But here you have LaToya Cantrell, who is having an adulterous affair with the cop who's in charge of her security detail while also committing fraud, getting Saints tickets illegally, and aiding in a jail escape. You're just not going to find that in the Republican Party. You just aren't. And if you sit there as a Democrat and say, you know what? That's, you know, I'm still going to be a Democrat. Well, then that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. I mean, the guy that was in charge of her special detail, security detail, Jeffrey Vapi, he must have been desperate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's rough. Oof. That right there is rough. That actually looks like a washed up black Elvis impersonator.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. But anyway, so, all right, that's good for tonight. 10:13. Look at that. Whoa, look at this line of Rumble Rants tonight. Thank you guys so much. Kind of toying with the idea of doing the Nick Fuentes thing, you know, where we do some... Aaron could work out all the tech where you give like a rant and you somehow digitally works on Rumble because that's where he does it all.
Yeah, so, we'll put the comments up.
And then put the comment up. It gives like a, what do you call it? Digital voice. Like, yeah, I don't know what you
like
call
AI
it.
AI read.
Like an AI read. Hey, thank you. An AI read of your question. And we can just address it right here or comment and we'll do it here. I mean, we have to like kind of police the comments sometimes. But anyway, Rumble Rants tonight. Yuri Nader 1121, $100. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. He said, tied that to Applebee's.
Yeah.
Yuri Nader, only because of you. Brandon's going to be able to take his wife to Applebee's tonight.
Yeah.
And he's got to drive 30 minutes the other direction, pick her up, and then arrive right at Applebee's when it's closing. But other than that,
I also got to pick her out of bed.
Yeah. So,
yeah, she's asleep.
You need to wake up, right? I'm not going to say her name, but. Brent's wife, wake up. It's Applebee's night out in the Skeeters. Wake up. All right. Cat P65, $50. Thank you so much. Alligator Alcatraz. Did you pick up that name because of our suggestion the other night? I'm glad. If you did, I love you. Alligator Alcatraz, $20. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Mike Griffith, $5. Patty K44, $5. Riffadota, $2. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Join us. Sunday morning now. You want a church like this podcast, never close, never will, never bends over, never grabs your ankles, never grabs our heels, never grabs our butt cheeks. Never. We do not compromise. Word of God spoken without compromise. All of it. Heaven, hell, repentance, promises of God, prosperity, the entire thing. Join us this Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Let's break our record. Let's get as many people on there as we possibly can. If you go to a bent over lukewarm church, I really need to break out of saying bent over because that's going to leak out on Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm trying not to say it on Sunday morning. But anyway, if you go to a compromising church, don't go. All you're doing is poisoning the faith of your family. Don't go. And if there's nothing good in the area, join us online. Just make us your church. I would never have said that 6 years ago, but I'm saying it now. It needs to be said. Join us this Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. If I don't see you then, I'll see you Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. As always, love you guys. Listen, stick around for the post game. It's hilarious. It's lighthearted. Stick around for the post game. Love you all. God bless you.